This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Maybe the short list to make is what Ruben Blades can't do. Maybe he can't juggle three pineapples or balance a ball on his nose, but I wouldn't bet on it. Mr. Blades is a singer and a songwriter, a successful movie, television, and stage actor, a composer of film scores, and a political activist. He holds a master's degree in international law from Harvard. He also ran for president of Panama in 1994. Ruben Blades is also appreciated, celebrated, and sometimes criticized for putting social and political messages into his music. But many critics of many different stripes appreciate his music for being entertaining, danceable, inspiring, and quite often instructive.
Que hablan de mis antepasados. El clan de Lara en África. Vuela hacia Europa, América. Recorre un mundo en transición. Donde el futuro en espiral se reproduce. Ah.
This is from his newest CD, Mundo. Blends Latin, Afro-Cuban, Celtic, and Middle Eastern musical styles. It's just been released on Sony, and Ruben Blades joins us now from Los Angeles. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And tell us more, if you could, about this song, Estampa.
Well, that's the opening cut on the album Mundo, and what I did with it basically was to present the intention of the record, which is to make people aware of the fact that we all come from the same source, and that most likely, within our genetic makeup, we also have sounds, memories from bygone days, and that helps to make us all a part of the same spirit.
No te olvidaremos. Hablan eso. No te olvidaremos. Al grupo folclórico experimental y yo.
Before I go any further, so what do you prefer, Blades, Blades? I've heard
actually,
both
it's
ways, yeah.
It's very interesting that sort of became an issue. My grandfather's name is Ruben Blades, and he was English, and he arrived in Panama, I think, in 1914 or 15 during the opening of the canal there. So the last name is Blades, and what I do now is basically, since it became an issue, I just sort of wait around and see how people pronounce it, and then I go with whatever it is that I hear, so I don't create a ruckus.
And you were just nice enough not to correct me.
Well, I'm wise enough not to correct you.
It's all right. You can correct me on the show. Everybody
no,
else
okay.
does. Why shouldn't
actually,
you?
I'm beginning to doubt what my last name is pronounced like now.
Yeah, you mean having heard it so many ways over
absolutely.
The years?
Absolutely. You have no idea the heated controversies. And I think that basically it's just Latinos thinking, oh, no, you're making him Anglo. He's from Panama, you mm-hmm. know. But again, it's part of what we're addressing in this record also. The color of the skin is a matter of geography and climate. But ultimately, everything comes from the same source.
I want to bring up another song. I think from the first note, it's not what people might be expecting. It's Primogenio.
Duermo y despierto mientras sueño. Y entre la luz del primogenio me espera la memoria que otro vio nacer.
It's so beautifully done. It's almost as if you, you come out of some sort of reversible sleeve, and it's from bogs to bongos. I mean, that's not something you would think would go immediately, but it's done so beautifully.
Thank you. That's Eric Rigler and the Eland bagpipe, which is the Irish bagpipe. And if I spoke about combining an Irish bagpipe with an Afro-Cuban rhythm to somebody within the industry. You know, they'd look at me as if I've, you know, said, let's sell some crack to the Pope, you know. What kind of crazy thing is this? And it's not crazy at all. Why does it blend? Because why wouldn't it blend? It all comes from the same background. The bagpipe comes from Mesopotamia. I mean, the source of it is Iran, Iraq, those areas. The best review I ever got from this record was some hardcore salsa fan, and he said to me, I like it, but I don't know why.
When people are listening to your music, is dancing or moving or feeling the music just the first step? Do you want something beyond that?
Basically, what made me different and what made the album that I worked with Willie Colon, Siembra, become the first million seller in the industry was that I presented these short stories that had to do with life in the city, and I put them in the context of music. And that's what made the songs survive, not just the rhythm or the music. However, there are people who write for the feet exclusively. Mm-hmm. You know, and what I was doing was I was combining a story with rhythm so people could choose to dance or to listen or both. Mm-hmm. And it irritates those who are only considering music as a form of escapism. My answer to them is don't listen to my music then. I think we need change. We do need change urgently.
Mr. Blatta, I hope you don't mind if I ask you about one of your older songs.
Absolutely, no, I love them all.
Oh, well, Tiburon.
Yeah, Tiburon.
Yeah, which caused some problems, didn't it?
Well, the thing with the song is it was critical of the of intervention in general. It so happened that at the time the song was published, there was the Reagan years, there was intervention in Central America. Mm-hmm. And the song is about it. It's an anti-interventionist type of song that applies not just to what President Reagan's policies were in the area, but it applies to any place. And it could be the Russians in Afghanistan. It could be the English in Las Malvinas. You know, it applies in general to unilateral intervention. So in those days, I had a problem with a certain group of people who became incensed with the song because they felt it was communist propaganda. And as a result, I had a blacklist like for 12 years in a particular area in this country.
Which area was that?
In Florida.
I'd heard that your life had even been threatened.
Yeah, in those days, everybody's life was, you know, they would come and make threats. I mean, I actually, you know, I had to perform. I played, and then I didn't play there for like 15 years. I had to wear a bulletproof vest.
In Miami?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let me ask you about another song, if we could. Bochinchas mm-hmm. means mm-hmm. gossip, right?
Absolutely. It's a song by Walter Flores, who originally named it a Costa Rican in the Orient, or a Latin in the Orient. And I heard it, and I thought it was wonderful. I then wrote these lyrics to it. They're very short commentaries on life and people's reactions to events that have an impact on their existence. And that's another song that just blends all these different influences of Arabic, flamenco, salsa, jazz, all into one. And the reason it worked was because it was visceral. I wasn't even thinking about singing it the way I sang it, other than when I started to sing it in my regular voice, I didn't feel that it was honest enough. And then I just went for it.
Looking back on it, why did you study international law?
Well, I studied law to begin with in Panama because I wanted to become involved in national politics, basically. And then there was a dictatorship in Panama in 68, and I graduated in 74. My family had left in 73 because of political problems, and then I joined them in Florida at the time in 74. Things were tough, and then there was an opening in the Fania mailroom in New York, Fania being the biggest label of Afro-Cuban music at the time, and I went over there and started working in the mailroom. And Fania waiting for a chance to be a full-fledged musician, which was my other passion. But I studied law because of both in Panama and at Harvard because I wanted to become part of social change.
And when you ran for president of Panama
mm-hmm.
and got defeated,
mm-hmm.
do you think it's possible people just wanted you to continue your music and acting career?
Oh, I'm sure a part of it. But at the time when I ran, first of all, we created a party from scratch,
mm-hmm.
totally grassroots, knocking on people's doors and getting their signatures so that we could create this political party. And at the time of the election in 1994, there were 27 political parties in Panama participating. And we collected our money for our campaign through selling T-shirts, hats, concerts. Most of the money came that way. We spent $600,000 in a campaign, national campaign, for 1,500 positions mm-hmm. that were at stake. And we came in allegedly third out of seven political candidates and out of 27 political parties with almost 20% of the vote. And the point that we wanted to make was made. We can create a political answer outside the traditional political parties.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to also admit my own responsibility in this, in the fact that I did not understand that this was a tremendous mistake that I made, not to understand that if you become involved in politics, you have to do so 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. And as a result, there were many people who did not believe that I was serious in what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. next time, when I become involved in something like that, I will pay attention and do what I'm supposed to do, which is be completely dedicated to that political work.
There will be a next time.
Absolutely.
Mm. I want to ask you one question. It's about another song. La Ruta. La Ruta, of course, is the road. It sounds like your most traditional song on this album.
Well, it's our effort to try to bring about the emotion of the flamenco,
mm-hmm.
But of course, fusion. And as interpreted by people who are not gypsy, who are not from Spain, but who have received the emotion of the music that they made possible. And the song is about it's about a guy who's walking around and then finds on the border of the road, he finds a cross of someone who's died. And as he goes to read what the cross says, he hears the voice of the person who died telling him, "If you see this cross, then follow the route for me in my name and keep on going ahead," you know, which I think is a way of saying that everyone that has ever lived in this world has left a legacy that and a responsibility to us to make it better.
So 2004, back to Panama?
Back to Panama, God willing, in December. I've been in this country now 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I really need to get in touch with my memories. And I want to spend time with my dad before he goes. So I'm going to go anyway. And I'm hoping to support a candidate there. And if he wins, then I would present myself as a candidate for a cabinet post.
Mm-hmm.
And I intend to spend at least the next 5 years in Panama from 2004 to 2009, exclusively working in social issues and trying to get things better there. That means no film, no music. But if my friend, if my candidate doesn't win, then I would, what I would do is I would concentrate in the area where I'm going to live, San Carlos, which is a semi-rural area, and try to organize there in three areas, health, the infrastructure of health services in the area, because it's a very poor area, and working, organizing sports for children, and both boys and girls, and trying to better the infrastructure of education in the area. And I would do that by myself with the help of, I hope, some other people that I've met in Hollywood and in the music business, and whomever wants to give me a hand.
The last song on the CD. Well, all right, tell us about it if you can. Maybe we should bring it up. San Patricio.
Yeah, St. Patrick.
A todos los salseros bien portados que se han quedado oyendo el disco hasta el final. Vaya, aquí va la ñapa.
Okay, a couple of things. First off, are those the first strains of Havana Gila?
No. No, actually, you're not the first one that asked me. No.
Oh, all right. Because the first time I ever heard Havana Gila sung, it was by Harry Belafonte. So I thought this follows an old tradition.
That's very interesting.
Let's hear this crazy Panamanian.
Now, why do you call yourself a crazy Panamanian?
Actually, it's just my own way of making fun of myself and of what we're doing. And so many people thinking, you know, oh, this is so crazy about doing, making these fusions and whatnot. So I always like to give everybody a voice, you know, even the people who don't agree with me. So we register dissent.
Mr. Blades, good luck along the road to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Singer, songwriter, actor Rubén Blades Blades, whose newest CD is titled Mundo, speaking with us from Los Angeles.